Today is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. Former President Trump has some harsh words for Biden about Israel from his court appearance. He had those words. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe. We'd love to have you here each and every day with us. A quick 20 minutes or so getting through the news of the cray. You can leave a rating on the, Apple Pods, whatever they call it these days, Spotify, whatever you're listening to us on. Leave a rating there. That really helps us get out there. And also, you can email us if you want, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. Joining me now to get through the news with Craig Tregones Phillips, Billy Hallowell. And we are taking a look, Billy, on the Focus story at some interesting words that ex-CNN anchor Campbell Brown had.
Yeah, you know, some really sobering words about what her plan was with her family in light of all the chaos going on in New York City right now, the anti-Israel protests. So we'll get into what she had to say and why it matters.
All right, looking forward to that. Also, on the main thing, more angles on Israel. What do Iranians think of what their government did on this attack? And Trey, you have more on that.
Yeah, I'm excited to share some of this conversation with Lily Meshi. She works for Iran Alive Ministries, and she's talking about what Iranians on the ground have said about Israel, how they feel, obviously, about their corrupt government attacking Israel, and how they think Israel should respond. I think that really was kind of shocking, but interesting to hear.
Yeah, we got a portion of that conversation on the main thing coming up. All of that and more. But first, want to make sure that you subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts. Go ahead and do that now. Take a moment. We'll give you a second here. Just look in that description. Find DC Debrief with John Stolness and Newsmakers with Billy. And DC Debrief is weekly. Billy's is daily, weekdays. Make sure you're following those. And with that, we're going to head over to the news here in 90 seconds. And former President Donald Trump called pro-Palestinian protests that have gone across all of these college campuses around the country, and particularly in the Northeast at Ivy League schools, a disgrace. And he blamed President Biden for sending the, quote, wrong signal. He made his comments from while he was going to this court trial. It's the second day of his trial in a case that he calls a witch hunt. He said, what's going on at the college level and the colleges, Columbia, NYU, and others, is a disgrace. And it's really on Biden. He sent the wrong signal. He's got the wrong tone. He's got the wrong words. He doesn't know who he's backing, and it's a mess. Meanwhile, anti-Israel protests are continuing to rage on and off campus as Alec Baldwin was caught on camera hitting a phone of an anti-Israel agitator who repeatedly demanded, while he was just trying to get coffee, to say free Palestine. And also, Columbia University has announced that classes at its main campus will be held remotely for the final weeks of the semester. And critics blasted the, quote, weak administration following anti-Israel student protests. And they said parents are now seeking for tuition refunds. And after hosting a baptism service on Clearwater Beach, Florida this Easter, a former witch-turned-minister and worship leader is planning to lead one of the biggest revivals in the U.S. this May. That's Jenny Weaver. You can read more about that over at cbnnews.com. Fellas, these protests are getting quite out of control, and to the point now where, I don't know if you guys saw this clip of Alec Baldwin, and Alec Baldwin's not exactly a lovable figure at this point by all, right? He's a controversial figure. He had this incident where he shot someone on set, and there was a whole trial about whose fault that was. And so you have Alec Baldwin out here, but this person is berating him so much that you have all these people going, look, it takes a lot to make Alec Baldwin the sympathetic figure here, but that's what happens in this clip. I mean, imagine just being at a coffee shop and someone just yelling at you, say it, say free Palestine, as if that would do anything other than make it look like he just wants you to go away. I don't know if you guys saw that. What's your reaction to that and all these protests that are going on?
Oh, I have so many reactions. You know, yeah. It is actually really remarkably disturbing, but also eye-opening for a lot of the things that we know are evil that people wouldn't say before openly, or they would try to conceal, for evil to just be so out in the open and out front, right? Some of these messages, there was one person yelling, at least one person yelling pro-Hamas mantras, you know, during these protests. And again, you know, you don't want to dismiss an entire group of people based on one thing, but there have been enough of these signs and issues where you sort of pull back and you say, my goodness, this evil is just right in front of us now, and you have to be blind not to see it. As far as Baldwin goes, yeah, I mean, how annoying, no matter what the message is, if you just want to get coffee, you just want to get coffee. You don't want somebody in your face making some sort of political demand of you, especially before you've had caffeine.
Yeah, it's like the ones that go in front of the bridges and block the bridges. Like, I don't care what your message is. It could be free $1 million bills for all Americans. I'd be like, get out of my way. I'm trying to get to work.
Yeah, but you're talking, Billy, about evil, and I think that is kind of the crux of all of this, and the blindness of the world. My pastor over the weekend was preaching on a section of text in First Peter, and he made the side point that Scripture really is a mirror, that we look at Scripture, and Scripture reveals what's sinful in us, what needs to be reformed, what needs yet to be sanctified. And then we can make those changes through the power of the Holy Spirit as God illuminates those things in our lives. But then I just happen to think, on the flip side, the secular world, the unsaved world, they don't have that mirror. They're looking back at themselves. It's a perverted image to begin with. They're looking back at themselves and they think this looks great, because they're just completely blind to an objective moral standard. And I think that's what's happening, is whether it's with Israel or sexuality or abortion, I think the world is just looking back at itself and is satisfied with itself because it's completely removed from the one true standard of truth, which is the gospel and what the Lord says in Scripture. So I think it's not surprising that things like this are happening, that these kind of escalations and protests are happening, but it's bewildering to watch, to see how we can degrade ourselves so far to be promoting stuff like this. It should just be a reminder, I think, to pray, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, but when you have this mindset, when you have a godless mindset, something by necessity has to replace that. And for many, it is the federal government, or it's some cause that they think they need to be a part of and that they need to force government to be involved in. And so I think, to your point, Trey, you're seeing a lot of lost people who are trying to replace that God-sized hole that resides inside them with something. And it's going to be something 9 times out of 10 that is completely, not only falls short of God, obviously, but is antithetical to what God would want. So it's certainly a good time to call for prayer, good time as any. So, all right, let's head on over to the Focus story now. And as we mentioned at the top here, ex-CNN anchor Campbell Brown posted a sobering message on social media over the weekend. What'd she say?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty heartbreaking. She basically said that she was taking her sons to Israel. And I'm just going to read you the message on X that she posted. She said, "I'm on my way to Israel, where my two sons will be safer and feel more welcome than they would be today on the Upper West Side." She's referring there to the Upper West Side of Manhattan, New York City, and obviously the events we're talking about, and feeling unsafe there. I mean, how bizarre and crazy is it that somebody would feel as though, you know what, and I'm not judging her feelings, I'm saying it's crazy we're in this position, that she feels like she needs to take her kids overseas to Israel to be more safe than they could possibly be here in America, the land of the free. It's really remarkable, and it got a lot of attention, obviously, because it's saying quite a bit without saying it about where we are right now as a culture.
Yeah, and look, let's elaborate a little bit about what's going on right now in New York and on campuses. We touched on it, but I mean, it's really turned into just a disturbing scene that just, despite even President Biden calling them out when he's been trying to appease both sides on this issue, so you haven't seen a lot of harsh condemnations from him on the pro-Palestinian, the pro-Hamas sort of protesters, but even he had to come out and give a very blunt statement about this. So you know that it's got to be getting extreme out there What do you want to say about that?
Yeah, there's a couple of interesting things. People have set up tents on these campuses. They're essentially squatting. And I will say, I'm just going to note this without any commentary. The tents in some of the photos are remarkably similar to one another, which I find really interesting. These are, tents are, they're not random tents. They're
right.
Very similar tents, which is an interesting detail. I wonder who's providing those. But basically, on Monday night alone, there were more than 150 people who were arrested on the campus of New York University. That's according to the New York Police Department, the NYPD. And there was another massive arrest at Columbia University, where there were more than 100 people being detained. And I mean, just to sort of underscore how serious this situation is, yeah, look, we have freedom to protest in this country. We have a First Amendment. But as we were mentioning at the top, some of the things being said are very disturbing, and we can get into that in a moment. But to kind of underscore how serious this is, Columbia University, as you were saying earlier, Dan, transitioned to full remote learning as of Monday. This came after a rabbi who's affiliated with the campus, he's part of the Orthodox Union Jewish Learning Initiative, he sent a WhatsApp message to around 300 Jewish students over the weekend. So this is before they announced that campus was going to go remote, urging Jewish students to leave campus. And at first this seemed like, okay, is this message accurate? Is this true? The message was confirmed. He had said that Rabbi Eli Buchler, he said that, look, you know, we can't guarantee that Jewish students are safe. And so here's what he wrote in part of that message to the students. He said, "It deeply pains me to say that I would strongly recommend you return home as soon as possible and remain home until the reality in and around campus has dramatically improved." So these students are fearing for their safety. To get into a few of the details, one protester, as I was mentioning, yelling, "We are all Hamas, long live Hamas." That one is on film, on video. So that one's out there on social media. There have been all sorts of other claims telling the Jews to go back to Poland, obviously where the Holocaust took place. And so we can go on and on of the anecdotal examples that we're seeing of extremism that make the Jewish students feel unsafe and that have led to arrests on these campuses.
Really, really disturbing stuff that we're seeing unfold before our very eyes. And look, we'd be wise to chronicle this because this is the sort of thing that's going to get memory hold the minute it politically becomes unfeasible. I can't believe I'm saying this, that it's not even politically unfeasible for them to be out there right now, or, you know, for a particular party to be attached to this. It's doesn't even feel like it's risen to that point yet. You have one kind of, the CNNs, the MSNBCs of the world are completely fixated. If you look at the headlines, they're completely fixated on the Trump trial right now and hardly touching this. It's the other networks that are covering it. So, yeah, I mean, it just feels like this thing is going to, that it's already risen to a very, very disturbing point, and that if it's not checked, it's going to get worse. So, but why do you think what Campbell Brown did here is relevant and into this entire discussion that's going on?
I mean, I think, look, this is a prominent person who not only was an anchor at CNN, but who went on to spend 7 years as the vice president of media partnerships at Meta, right? This is somebody who's well-respected. And I think it shows how serious and severe this is for the people being impacted, the Jewish students, their families, the fact that this has extended into, how are there people in this country who are, I get, okay, fine, you want to disagree with Israel and you have an opinion on what's going on with Palestine and Israel and Gaza, but to take any sort of position that we are Hamas or to be sympathetic to Hamas, this is the result, and this is why it matters, seeing what she has said here, of decades of allowing one political persuasion and an extreme version of it to dominate every single campus almost in this country. This is the fruits of that disturbing labor. And I think all of us are uncomfortable watching what we've allowed to percolate for so long.
Yeah. I mean, really, really disturbing, as I said. And it's frustrating because it's very hypocritical as well. You have this group of people, by and large, the secular left, constantly hitting the drumbeat of inclusion, diversity, and equity, and all people need to be accepted, and we need to do all this, and yada, 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 kumbaya. And they were literally making a circle arm in arm and telling them, Jewish people, that they were not welcome in this circle. What is that? That is hate. That is hatred.
Evil.
What, you guys have all seen the yard signs. Hate has no home here. Does it? Does it really? Because it certainly seems like you're locking arm in arm based on hate for the Jewish people. I mean, that's what it looks like to me. And it's sad, frustrating, all of the above to watch unfold.
Yeah, I think we're seeing the result of moral rot in our culture from over the years. And unfortunately, I think sadly we have well-intended Christians, a lot of well-intended Christians who are, I want to be generous, I want to be civil, I want to be compassionate in how we have conversations with people. And I think to our detriment, we've bought into some of the tolerance argument, which, as you were alluding to, Dan, tolerance now is complete and total acceptance and celebration of whatever you believe in, whether it has to do with Israel or any of the number of other controversial topics that our culture is faced with these
days.
And
it's one way. The tolerance is only one way.
Right. The tolerance goes one way. And I think we have, in the name of compassion, and I think a lot of it has been well-meaning and well-placed, but we have lost so much because we've refused to stand the ground on what is truth. I can tell you that this is true. Israel is God's chosen people. The abuse that they've faced is nothing short of abuse. You can say that, and you can still, with the same breath, say there are people in Gaza who are victims of the Hamas government. There's nothing wrong with saying those two things, but allowing any sort of moral equivalence between the Israeli government and Hamas is insanity. And I think for any Christian, any conservative, really set those two things aside, anybody who can read the news and see what's going on and not call that out as ridiculous, as a lie, that's a problem. But I think really there's just a lot of moral rot in our culture and a lot of people who have unfortunately been unwilling to stand up and say right is right and wrong is wrong.
Yeah, and I just want to make a quick point, Billy, before you chime in on Trey. I think you hit the nail on the head with the tolerance, and that too many Christians have bought into this. It's sort of like a trap, right? Like that all these people on the secular left are like, we just need to be tolerant, we need to be kind, we need to, and so we tiptoe as Christians trying to be Christian and trying to speak truth and love, and we tiptoe around the truths. And I think a lot of people are getting frustrated, and you're seeing a lot of people on the Christian sometimes and conservative right say, you know what? Forget it. We tried that, and we tried Mr. Nice Guy routine, and it's not working. And so you're seeing more and more people get sort of radicalized, essentially saying, we need to go outside the Constitution and just ban that. And it's really a call for Christians now, I think, to find that right balance of not being too wimpy on the truth, And like you said, trying too much to tiptoe into it, because we're seeing that that's baloney, this whole just be nice, because they're not nice in return. So tolerance is a one-way street.
Yeah. Well, and go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so I think we got to find that balance. My main point here is find the balance between boldly expressing the truth and doing it in love. It feels like we've erred two side on the one and at the expense of truth, and the truth part isn't getting through loud enough. So not an easy task, but we got to keep searching for the right sweet spot.
Well, I think we parse that sentence, speak truth and love, what scripture says, and then we take it apart and we pick and choose what we want to do. It's not like it's speak truth and love. It's a one command. There's one thing that you're supposed to do there is speak truth. Okay, got that. And do it lovingly. Got that. But we're picking and choosing what we want to do based on the situation. And that's why I think so many problems have arisen.
All right, Billy, final word on this one.
Yeah, the final word is that when you've got, you know, barely anybody in the country with a biblical worldview, when you look at these numbers, you know, 4%, whatever it is now, whatever horrifying number it is, and about 2% of younger people, you know, this we cannot walk around anymore being apathetic and unclear on what is going on. These are actually issues that the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about Israel. The book of Revelation talks about Israel. These are things that doesn't mean you excuse every single behavior, you know, but the point is, at the end of the day, these are Bible issues, and the fact that we don't know our Bibles is actually having a massive impact on how we interact with and understand the politics and the culture going on around us, including the lie of just accepting every single thing to be winsome and compassionate. We have to speak truth, and we have to do it in love. So I second what Trey says, but open your Bibles, people, and read them, because that's what we need right now.
Amen. Amen. Good spot to leave it there. Appreciate bringing that one. Putting it on the radar on the pod today. Very much appreciated. All right, we're going to go with that over to the main thing now. Lily Meshi with Iran Alive Ministries was raised in like a nominally Muslim family in Tehran before she ultimately moved to the U.S. and came to Christ after seeing the Jesus film. Well, she joined Trey for a big discussion on how many Iranians, especially those in the older generation, are responding after the Muslim country's corrupt government launched some 300 missiles into Israeli airspace back in mid-April. So how are they looking at that? And how has Iran historically attacked Israel via proxy and more is today's main thing.
The news of the month has been Iran attacking Israel, which of course is God's chosen people, and they've launched some 300 missiles, at least at the time of this airing, most of which were thankfully intercepted. But yes, Talk a little bit about what it's been like or how you can continue to share the gospel with Iranians as this is happening at the same time. Of course, this is no fault of the citizenry of Iran. This is the government, the corrupt government, but yes, Still that's created a dynamic that is of course heartbreaking and difficult to deal with as a believer.
Absolutely. At Iran Alive Ministries, what we do is we really try to use the power of media, which right now is the satellite TV in everybody's homes, and through the social media, is to radiate a message of hope, radiate a message of gospel of what Christ has done for the people of Iran, and the darkness that they're living in is not from God, but from the enemy. And so Dr. Sharia, the founder of the ministry, he has been doing like series of messages preparing Iranian Christians, which are an estimated 2 million now, to let them know, events are happening. There may be wars. And because we see that tension, from Israel and Iran. And so he had been preparing Iranian Christians for the conflict that is happening today between Iran and Israel. And so he basically encourages everyone. We all encourage everyone to just be the light in the darkness as this is happening. Now, as you mentioned here, Iranian government is totally separated from the citizens. Iranian people are not for the government. They want the government to be toppled. They want to overturn this government, and they're seeking for democracy. Some of them, as heart-wrenching as a war could be, are looking forward to a war. They're saying, we want Israel to attack Iran because this might be the answer we're looking for. We are not living, but we're just all surviving every single day. Some of the older generation Iranians are saying, we rather die in a war, but the next generation to live a better life of freedom and democracy. So if it means for the government, for a war to happen, for this government to be overturned, we welcome a war. Some of them are saying this could be the answer we're looking for, because no matter how many protests, people just gather in the streets of Iran to protest against the government, they're not going anywhere. They don't get any support from any other countries, so they're not going anywhere. They feel hopeless, and they feel like this is not life. Might as well do something for the next generation.
All right, Trey, thanks for that conversation there. That was a portion of that conversation. So if you want to catch the whole thing, it's on our YouTube channel, and we will put the link here in the description to this podcast, to that full conversation there. Really great stuff. So appreciate that. All right, we got time for one last thing on the pod today. We're going to take a look at James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. So there you have it. I think we've probably done that one before, but I just felt like with some of the things we've been talking about this week, that it's just always a good reminder that we're going to be persecuted. We talked about the teacher in Texas yesterday on the podcast that was in all kinds of trouble for just praying in and around the school daring to do that. So a good reminder here heading into our day.
Love that one. Yep, perseverance. We can get it from God.
The trials that we face in this life can be really refining if we allow the Holy Spirit to do that work. So a good reminder for me, I know, today.
Absolutely. All right. As always, get yourself on over to cbnnews.com, faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. Subscribe if you haven't already. You can always email us as well. We'd love to hear from you. quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us. We'll return tomorrow with more Friday Juniors up next. God bless.